Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been active today, and that may, who knows, may have an impact on the Houston Texans. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. A reminder, Brian Baldinger going to join us at the top of the hour from the NFL Network. He's also our radio.com NFL expert as well. And we'll get his thoughts on, well, something we're about to talk about here, Gerald McCoy. I do want to talk to Baldy about Clowney, too.
For sure.
He's as big a Clowney guy as there is.
Hey, Sean, as long as we're addressing breaking news in this segment, it's being reported that ex-Rocket Juwan Howard is about to be named a head coach at Michigan.
Okay, good for him.
And apparently Antonio Brown did not accept Ben Roethlisberger's apology, calling him a two-face on Twitter.
Okay, well, that's. I'm glad we have the update on the
I'm just trying to keep you up to date.
Big Ben, thank you, Rich. I appreciate it. The big news this morning was Gerald McCoy getting released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers didn't waste any time in backfilling Gerald McCoy. McCoy was the number three overall pick in the 2010 draft. I guess in some respect, they upgraded slightly. They got the number two overall pick in the 2010 draft, and Ndamukong Suh is going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Yeah, and from what I read, it was a mutual parting of the ways between Gerald McCoy and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, what that means is he's making too much money.
I say that completely tongue-in-cheek, as it was pretty much common knowledge they were shopping him around and found no one that wanted to pay him $13 million. Not that McCoy is some sort of player on the backside or is not a productive player anymore. Arians had some comment a week or two ago referring to him maybe not being as disruptive as he used to be. Statistically, over the last 5 years, he's been among, if not the best, at collapsing the pocket and getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks that the NFL has to offer.
Yeah, Gerald McCoy's been very, very durable. And just because he was set to make $13 million this year and no one would trade for him, Rich, I don't think means that someone doesn't want to pay him $13 million. Now, not on a multi-year deal, but I could see Gerald McCoy getting a deal like Ndamukong Suh had last year when Suh signed a one-year, $14 million deal with the Rams. I could see McCoy getting a deal like that, somewhere. It just means that nobody wanted to give up any draft capital for the right to pay Gerald McCoy $13 million, because his contract was already into that non-guaranteed sort of abyss, you know, where if someone wanted to trade for him, pay him $13 million this year, they could do it and then cut him after the year was over.
Gerald McCoy is the kind of player you want on your football team. I'm not only a highly productive, good player that performs at a high level at his spot on the field, but well-documented. It wasn't just Hard Knocks that convinced me that Gerald McCoy was a solid citizen and a guy you'd want on your team. Everything we've ever heard or read about this guy has been good. And that brings us to the Texans situation in the middle of their D-line.
They've got plenty of cap space to do this if they want to, Rich. And we'll get into the character part of Gerald McCoy in just a second. But obviously the most important thing is the football need in all of this. And I think when you, to me, football-wise, I think there's three things that you factor in. One, this is a secondary that still needs as much help as you can get from the front seven.
Right.
Number two, you went into this offseason, free agency and the draft, and we talked about it on this show. If you were listing acute needs for the Texans, clearly offensive line and cornerback were one and two in some order. The third one, I think most people thought, was an interior pass rush from the front seven. You had the edge all set. You're overloaded on the edge with Merciless and Clowney and Watt. McCoy has not only been very, very durable, 15 games a year he's averaged, so he's been on the field, but he averages over 7 sacks a season from the interior of the defensive line. He's never had a double-digit sack season, but he doesn't play a position that's conducive to that. I think the third thing is people will bring up scheme as a reason to maybe not look at him, because I think people just default and go, well, Romeo Crennel plays a 3-4. Let's get away from that for a second. There's really no base defense anymore in the NFL, or with respect to certainly the Texans, which is all we really care about here. Yeah, he's a 3-4 coach, but if you watch the Texans, they're doing all sorts of 4-3 stuff up there. Clowney's on the edge all the time. He's not a 3-4 defensive end. He's not an outside linebacker.
They're multiple on both sides of the ball.
You're in nickel a bunch, you know. DJ Reader, if you look at him, you look at him dimension-wise, you go, well, that guy's a 3-4 nose tackle. Well, he's a plays a lot of sort of, he plays some defensive end in the 3-4. He plays a lot of 4-3 defensive tackle type stuff. My point is that Romeo Crennel, yeah, is a 3-4 guy, but forget about it. It's alphabet soup now. You're using things situationally out there where McCoy can really help you.
And he's the pocket pusher who often commands double teams, which is exactly what the Texans are looking for.
Well, think about what Deshaun Watson was saying after the season was over. The day after the Colts game, Rich, and maybe we should get this audio. Not BMAC, if you can find it now, great, but maybe for later in the show when we talk about this. I'm just thinking out loud on the radio. You remember what Deshaun Watson said the day after the Colts loss, or might have even been in the postgame press conference, I think it was, is he talked about the inability to step into throws. He talked about how he had a crush of guys at his feet, and it was the first time we ever heard Deshaun really kind of blame the offensive line. But I don't bring that up to pick on the Texans' offensive line. I bring that up as an example of a really good quarterback saying that this is what impacts me the most.
Yeah.
Let's hear this. This is Deshaun Watson following that Colts loss.
Couldn't step into my throws. It wasn't where I was, sitting there by myself, with a full pocket. Guys was in my face trying to make throws like that. If I can't fully throw any quarterback, not just me, can't step into that throw and, get their full strength with their lower body and get the system step, then a lot of balls can be low. So, that was just it, really.
They play a lot of cagey quarterbacks this year, Rich. The Texans do. A lot of veteran quarterbacks. Yeah. Veteran quarterbacks, I think, I'm not saying it's easy to do this, but I think you can plan a little bit easier for Watt or Clowney collapsing the pocket from the edge and maneuver in the pocket. It's tough to plan for a pass rush that all of a sudden is standing in your face blocking your view. And if Gerald McCoy can bring something like that, I think that the Texans don't have a guy like that. No, they've got a bunch of great big frat people along the defense.
Deshaun Watson showed the highest level of restraint in the comments you just heard, because we're talking about a guy who just finished a season where he'd been, sacked 65 times. The QB hits combined in the regular season and the playoff games, playoff game were also league leading, the most battered quarterback in the NFL. There's a lot of other guys out there that play the quarterback position that might have had more sharp words for the lack of protection they did not enjoy for the entire season. I mean, let's face it. He had to go to a road game in Florida on a bus because he had a broken rib that punctured one of his lungs. He was literally tortured out there by his lack of protection. For that to be the most direct reference to that lack of protection shows a high level of restraint.
Yeah, the only reason I bring that up is just this is an example of an NFL quarterback talking about what an inside pass rush can do to you.
Yeah, and I don't think he meant it as a shot to his offensive lineman, but clearly we know what he's talking about there.
Yeah. So Gerald McCoy can provide that sort of disruption that led to Deshaun Watson saying those things. That's something that Gerald McCoy could provide for the Texans. I think two other things with Gerald McCoy, Rich. If I were pitching to Brian Gain why he should do this. Now, Brian Gain's pitch to Gerald McCoy is a whole other thing altogether, and we can talk about that. But two things. You touched on it.
This is a guy you want on your team.
Great character guy. Everything that O'Brien says when he talks about players, and he says, great guy, great teammate, great this, great that. McCoy checks all those boxes. This is the other thing, is that the Texans have a very green interior, very green offensive line overall, but especially the interior of the offensive line where they're breaking in Martinez Rankin. Nick Martin's still a young player. They've already talked about possibly moving Sharping inside. Titus Howard's going to get some looks at guard throughout training camp and OTAs. I think that's a given. If you have Gerald McCoy out there going against those guys, even with the minimal number of contact practices that you have, I think that's going to help them. An iron sharpens iron sort of thing. I think you can justify some of it by going, yeah, this guy's going to give us real great production on Sunday, but what we're going to get in the locker room and what we're going to get out at practices to make our guys better is another reason why we should not get outbid by anybody. Gerald McCoy may choose to go somewhere because he has a better chance to win a ring.
I'm
and that's
with
a,
you.
That's a defensible thing. But if Gerald McCoy winds up going, I don't know, if he winds up going to Oakland, let's say, for $14 million, then that's inexcusable if you're the Texans. Because clearly it's a cash play.
Plenty
of cap space.
Maybe me a little bit more than you, I don't know. But I've been bemoaning the Texans' lack of spending this offseason.
You wanted Trent Brown. You're bemoaning that.
And look, if that's where we are now with the money still to spend, and this is an opportunity that presents itself, absolutely. They can kind of go a long way toward redeeming some of what I consider the shortcomings of this offseason by moves they make between now and September 1st.
Here's the difference, Rich, because you bring that up, our difference in opinion on things. Here's why I think this is a good use of money, is that I don't think you're going to need to do a four-year, $60 million deal for Gerald McCoy. He's 31 years old. He's old in football terms. The guy came into the league before there was a rookie wage scale in 2010.
Yep.
So he's been around a long, long time. You know, Trent Brown was going into his second contract. Gerald McCoy is going into his third contract.
And the only reason he's not a Buccaneer is they didn't want to pay him $13 million.
That's exactly right.
That's the only reason he's no longer
exactly
in
right. He can still play. He can still play. So, Texans, I would say do it. Now, the sales pitch to McCoy we can get into later in the show.
Oh, I don't think it would take much to convince him this is the place to be.
You don't? There's a lot to pitch to him. I get it. What if the New England Patriots are the other team that's pitching to Gerald McCoy?
Yeah.
He's 31, and he's been on Tampa Bay his whole career.
Right. But
I want to play an important game. Guy went to Oklahoma. He played in important games all the time.
I don't know if the Patriots are going to pay him that kind of money.
No, I know. And I get that. I'm saying if it's not about money for Gerald McCoy, the sales pitch gets tougher if you're the Texans.
Maybe so, yes.
Right?
Yeah,
if
sure.
It's a bunch of contenders.
But I think it is going to be largely about money. I think Gerald McCoy at this point, because look, like you said, he's still very productive, but he's entering his early 30s now. This is when he wants to get a payday. This is not, I think, the time in his career to settle for a lot less than market value.
You don't think?
I think his market value is still around that $13 million.
It may be, but he's made a ton of money, and he hasn't played in a lot of important games.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised.
I
beg to differ. I think he's at the stage now where the guy looks at it and goes, well, I've made $80 or $90 million. Keep in mind, Rich, he was the number 3 overall pick before there was a rookie wage scale.
Right.
So he probably got about $40 million guaranteed before the guy even put pads on.
Yeah, well, we don't know him. And a lot of guys, you know, define respect as in that dollar figure.
We don't. We don't know what type of guy, you know, not type of guy. It's not a character statement about him. But we don't know what motivates him.
And if he's holding out for market value, which I think he'll be offered by more than one or two teams, more power to him. I don't begrudge him for that at all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.